Hello, this is Matthew Tombers, and you're listening to WGXC, Acra, Catskill, Hudson.
All Together Now listens for feedback from the public. Anyone who wants to leave a public comment can call 518-291-9492 and leave an audio message up to 3 minutes with any sort of opinion about something you heard on All Together Now. You can also send emails to info@wgxc.org with opinions about what you hear here.
Underwriting support is provided by Tobacco-Free Action of Columbia and Greene Counties, working to protect children from tobacco marketing in stores. The more kids see, the more likely they are to smoke. To learn more and find out how you can help, visit www.seenenoughtobacco.org.
Radio Theatre 3 p.m. Thursdays on WGX, the Creative Community Radio.
Radio Theatre Program. Tonight in Radio Theatre, Orson Welles goes camping naked with a bearskin rug. And Amos and Andy and Raggedy Ann and Andy get together and they have Amos and Raggedy Ann and Andy show. That'll be fun. Also, tiny children saying things they can't quite pronounce. That is a really good part of the show. Radio Theater.
Test, test.
Testing, testing.
Bump me up.
Bump, 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 bump it up. Bump, bump, bump it up.
That's good. Bump. Hey, it's me, Holly Tanner.
And it's me, Justin Weaver.
We are your co-hosts of Something to Talk About, which you can only hear on
WGXE 90.7 FM.
Your place for live local radio. Be sure to tune in second and fourth Wednesday of every month at
2 p.m. till 3 p.m.
We'll talk to you then.
Don't miss us.
What's going on, Justin? Anything?
I don't know. You know, I just got a phone call the other day.
Oh.
I can't see on these telemarketers. It's like
off
the wall crazy.
I don't know, Holly.
Let's talk about it.
People are talking, talking about people. I hear the whisper. You won't believe it.
Every Friday on WGXC from noon until 2, check out the Sugar Shack Jukebox featuring decades of funk, R&B, rock, pop, soul, and much more. That's every Friday on WGXC after the noon headlines until 2 p.m.
Hey everybody, we're the Game Hoarders. We're on every Thursday from 3:30 to 4.
We're invading your airwaves. Come on, it would be fun.
I'm not always there, but when I am, you get to hear my epic voice.
On WGXC 90.7 FM.
Where you listen to all the best music and you can definitely hear us invading.
We're better.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of WGXC or Wavefarm. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those exclusively of the guest and not of the WGXC host.
He's a American dream.
You're listening to Jason Smith's Deplorable Radio Show. It is Sunday, June 10th, 2018. Jerry Diamond and our guests today are jamming out to the Dusty Rhodes theme song in the studio. Your mic is not on yet, Jerry. I tell you this at the beginning of every show. I turn mine on first to introduce the show, and then I turn yours on. Yes, we are live on the air, WGXC 90.7 FM, and we are also streaming live on Jerry Diamond What the What's Facebook Live account. Can't see me on there. I told Jerry that this is radio for a reason. Thanks for adjusting it. Now you can see me on there. Lower this a little bit.
We get into our work very deeply.
What was that, Jerry?
We get into our work very deeply.
We get into our work very,
very deeply.
At
least I do, anyway.
Well, speaking of our work, this month we're talking about raising some funds.
Absolutely.
We're doing a pledge drive. That's right. It's the Radio Everywhere pledge drive for WGXC 90.7 FM. And if you would like to donate, you can call 518-697-7400 or go online to WGXC.org/donate. We'll be talking about that throughout the show.
Give until it orgs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, I mean, what a great cause. I mean, if it wasn't for the kind people out there who donate, we couldn't be doing this deplorable radio show.
Exactly. Absolutely.
We're willing to take money from unkind people as well, aren't we?
We are. Michael Gregg is in the studio. He's back. He's been here one other time. He saved the show one time. He was here before.
Sorry, fans.
if you're a listener, mom or dad.
or daughters.
You might remember Michael Gregg from the episode where I couldn't get anything to work except Michael Gregg's microphone for the first 15 minutes of the show.
God works in mysterious ways.
And I had no idea that you had such great radio talent that you were able to just talk for 15 minutes.
I was born to do radio.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if I asked you back then, but do you have radio experience?
None.
None.
No.
I'm surprised by that.
I owned a radio. My parents gave me a radio for my bar mitzvah present, so that's pretty much it.
Yeah. That might be some experience with a radio. I don't know.
Yeah. I was hoping for a boom box. Those were big then.
I remember that.
Well, you are a natural at it from what I remember last time you were here. Hopefully this time goes well as well.
Yes, let us pray.
Yeah,
you moved. Yes. Last time we were not in the basement of a church,
and now we are. And I'm pretty sure when I told you that we are now, you probably thought I was kidding.
It makes sense. God upstairs and us here.
Tastes about radio, folks.
Yes, but we are in a lovely new studio.
Yes, we are.
Yes, it's
nice. I like it.
It seems,
I think it's a work in progress.
It is.
Well, nowhere to go but up.
Yes, absolutely.
Jerry, what have you been up to in the last month?
Well, I just did a gig last night. I hosted a show down at the Hudson River Coffee Shop last night with Ed Smythe. And it was a good show last night with me and David Gerard. He plays a little drums there, but he also does like entertainment. He's the first time he's doing comedy, and he was phenomenal. He's really good last night. He was really good. It was a good show last night.
First time doing comedy, first and it was a show, not an open mic.
No, it was a show, actual show.
Wow,
that takes guts to get on stage
to do comedy for your first time.
But he did really good. We did it
without practice.
Well, him and we did a little practice before to be on the air or on the stage there.
Okay,
and he did a skit there with Dick Clark to $25,000 pyramid. He even had a computer. He had the noise with the sound for when you're playing the bonus round when you're doing for the.
It wasn't stand up. It was skit comedy.
It was both.
Oh well, it was both. Skit comedy.
Okay, that's
skit comedy is different. I mean, if you do skit comedy. Yeah.
But he did it. He did amazing. He did a poetry reading. He did some jokes, and we did the skit there with Dick Clark there, the $25,000 pyramid.
There's
really
always going to be that first time when you do a skit comedy thing, but doing your first stand-up show, usually that's something you work out on an open mic.
But he did good, though. He was really good. He was really good. I was like, you've been doing this great. This is my first time doing comedy. I said, you sound like a pro.
Great. Somebody else is already better than me on this.
And me, too. I've been doing this for 4 years. What are you talking about?
So you had a good show last night?
Yeah, it was a good show last night.
I'm glad you had a good show. I did not go to your show.
Of course you didn't go.
I went to a bar to watch the UFC fight last night. I only watched the opening fight because it's the only one I cared about. It was right. CM Punk, former WWE wrestler, yep. CM Punk's second UFC fight.
Wow.
And did you get any of the results?
No, I didn't.
You probably don't care?
Well, I do care, but I didn't. My brother watches it. He's a big fan of UFC and all that. He watches that stuff.
So would you like to guess the outcome of the CM Punk fight?
I'd probably say CM Punk won.
You would say CM Punk won?
Yeah.
Michael?
CM Punk against?
It's funny. The guy he was fighting is named Mike Jackson.
Okay, yeah, Punk won. Yeah.
Okay.
When you hesitate, he's like, Mike Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going, you are both wrong.
What?
CM Punk lost his second fight.
No. I know you.
He is winless in UFC.
Oh, my God. You better go back to WWE because he's better up at that because he was a champion there.
I don't know if they'll take him back at this point. I mean,
wow. Wow. Because I knew he lost his first fight. I remember that.
Yes. And he lost that one pretty quickly.
Yeah,
and,
it was quick.
And watching that one, I was like, oh, I think he's making a mistake because he went in too fast.
He did.
And he got caught up and he ended up tapping out. And this one I'm watching and he starts out again at a fast pace. And I'm watching saying to myself, slow down. And he did slow down and he lasted three rounds. It was a three-round fight.
Wow.
It went to decision, but it was a clear decision.
Jesus.
I mean, the first round was probably even. CM Punk got his first career takedown. He took down Mike Jackson. But after that, it was...
It was a thriller.
It was a thriller. It was kind of embarrassing for CM Punk. I mean...
It's gotta be embarrassing.
There was one point where he jumped on Mike Jackson, and he was, like, holding on to him, and Mike Jackson's just standing there, like, looking like... What are you doing?
Wow. That's
and then he
crazy.
Just went forward and slammed him down onto the ground.
Wow. I would have thought he had that fight. I really did because, you know.
The hype
of it was so intense that everybody was like rooting for CM Punk. Like he's got it. I mean, the promotions was even phenomenal. I'm like, well, he's gonna win this one.
And I would say that the third round, I'd say the second half of the third round, Mike Jackson is smiling and laughing through it, and that's not a good sign.
No,
that
it's not. No.
It's either a sign of brain damage or victory is impending. Yes.
Yep. Or I see one of my YouTube channels.
it's funny that you say it's a sign of brain damage. CM Punk did not stick around for a post-fight interview because he was rushed to the hospital for a CT scan on his face.
Oh, wow.
You're a doctor. I don't really know too much about CT scans, but
well, if you're gonna do a CT scan of the face, then I'm guessing that he probably had some sort of fracture around his eye, or you know, some sort of probably around the eye, because you know, just your routine broken nose, they wouldn't do a CT.
He was bleeding out of his nose, and I believe before the third round started, I noticed he did have like a black eye like forming,
okay.
Like so, and they were like trying to.
Then again, you know, funds are unlimited. What the heck? Go ahead, do a CT, you know?
Absolutely.
So I don't know. Is this the end of CM Punk's UFC career? Does anybody start 0-2 and continue a career
in mixed martial
arts?
No. The Mets, however.
really now? Really? We're going with the Mets and we're going from fighting to the Mets? What's up with this?
Well, you know, they got they need a CT as a team.
No, they need a whole new team. That's not a CT. They need a whole new team, all right?
I think CM Punk is going to be playing first base for the Mets next week.
No, he's going to play with the Buffalo Bills.
As soon as he can stand, he'll be on first base. You know?
He's going to be a cheerleader.
I was impressed by one thing, though. He cut weight drastically. He went from being a professional wrestler. He's at least 220 pounds or whatever when he was wrestling.
Was he 220 or 230 he was?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
He weighed in for last night's fight at 159.
Wow, that's a dramatic change right there.
That's small.
That is small.
That's a small guy right there.
My first thing is, why would you go and doing that in that way? You should be a little beefed up, I mean, muscle-wise, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
well, how tall is the guy?
He's probably about my height, a little taller, a couple inches taller.
Then he was a big, beefy wrestler. You know,
I mean, he wasn't jacked up. He wasn't one of these steroid guys.
No, I mean,
if the guy's 6'4", then 150 is not a good weight.
No, he's not 6'4". He's not a giant, but he's about your height.
He might have gone into that weight class thinking it'd be an easier fight. I don't know.
I know sometimes when you lose weight, because you want to be faster. Because if you're a little heavy, you can't move as fast. But if you're a little lightweight, you can move faster.
Now, going into this fight, I wasn't too confident in CM Punk after seeing how his first fight went. And
good going, Jason. Thanks for having some encouragement for CM Punk.
And I made the joke. I texted Bonnie last night. And I said, hey, if we go to Dave and Buster's, I know CM Punk's the first fight. It starts at 10 o'clock. We should be out by 10:25.
Speaking of which, she's on Facebook Live now, really? Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie. How you doing?
Member of the fan club, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
So I lost faith. I mean, CM Punk's a hero of mine from wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
But I went in expecting a loss. He did a lot better than I expected. He didn't go down in the first round.
The second time he should have done better because it's the second time doing it. You know, I mean, he should. I mean, that's good though. He did a little better this time than he did last time.
So Mike Jackson's now the new front runner in UFC.
Well. Okay, so the point I was getting at is I didn't have faith in him, and then I get to the bar, and I didn't know anything about Mike Jackson. So I look him up. He was also going into this fight 0-1.
Oh, wow.
So it was two guys who had one fight, and they both lost them.
Yeah.
And then I saw Mike Jackson is like a golden glove boxer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, so I saw that, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of a red flag. Not that CM Punk can't hold his own.
Right.
He is an athlete. Yes, you know. Yeah. I mean, say what you want about wrestling, but
you had to be athlete to do wrestling.
Oh, no. That, I would say the same thing. When you talk about wrestling, I go, oh, no.
So CM Punk starts throwing strikes in this fight, and I'm like, do not box this guy. this will end badly.
Right,
know?
Right.
But it went to decision.
Wow. At least, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he did better this time than he did last time. That's better because even with the decision, he got three rounds.
And he got a takedown in the fight. The guy's 39 years old. He's I guess he's my age, although I tell people I'm 25.
On Tinder.
Me too.
Yeah. He's 39 years old starting a career in the UFC.
See, that's a mistake right there in that part, I believe. Because
you think so?
I think so, because you should be doing that at a younger age, like in your 20s, like late teens, early 20s, because
he is the Tim Tebow of UFC.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Because otherwise you're going to end up being a cheerleader or be water boy for that.
I don't know. I have nothing but respect for that.
Oh, I do too. But I'm thinking that if you're going to do something like that, you should go at an earlier age. You know, like he should.
It would be easier for him if he started it.
Look at Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Okay. He started early. He was younger. Yes. You know, he was in, and look at him. You know, he started up UFC with the WWE, then back to UFC, then the WWE. Now he's doing both right now, I guess. So he's doing both right now. So
I think so. Yes.
Yeah, he is. He's doing both.
All right. I just want to remind everybody out there, if you're enjoying this kind of talk, or if you're not enjoying this kind of talk, you can support this station. You can support the Radio Everywhere pledge drive by calling 518-697-7400 or online at wgxc.org/donate, and you can continue listening to amazing UFC recaps like this. That's what the show is. The show, we talk about UFC, we talk about wrestling, we talk about pop culture, we interview amazingly talented guests.
Amazing.
This and Michael Gregg.
So now he's a doctor, he's a comedian. So you got.
Is there a fund drive to get us off the air? I just want to know how much money that's.
I don't know. I think if they raise enough funds, maybe they'll replace this show with something people actually want to listen to.
Sure, like whale
the
sounds.
The doctor comedy style comedy show.
No, I'm kidding.
For the next hour, we'll be listening to whale mating calls.
But it is
my ex-wife's here.
It is great that there's this format where guys like you and me and Michael can come in here. We're all comedians, and we can sit down and we can talk about what's going on in the world.
Absolutely.
And
this was all about. This is
we try to make it entertaining.
Yes.
You know,
we try.
Listen, we try.
You can't get any more entertaining than this guy right here. I mean, I do every morning just about do a Facebook live stream, and everybody goes, oh, Jerry, what you doing? Shouldn't you be doing something different with your life besides watching me on Facebook, like go to the beach or go to Lake George, you know, do
have
something.
Have you thought of UFC?
I just thought about it, and ABC, and that's it. That's all I ever thought I had at it. You know, when I was growing up, I've been a big wrestling fan since day one, and I thought maybe someday be a wrestler, but that didn't work out so well.
Have you thought about trying now that you're...
No, not at my age. No. That'd be like me going for UFC. That's not going to happen.
I'd love to see UFC with the silver you know, maybe anybody over 50 fighting.
There you go. Well, that I would join then, you know.
Silver division.
Silver division. That's a good one. I like that one. Silver division. The UFC. Anybody want to fight me? I got my cane.
No, come on. Over 50. No, but it's like, you know.
The senior citizen. Well, silver. Is it getting over the senior citizens? Or 50 and up. Yeah, 50-year-old gets together like a 55 or... Anybody want to go to Denny? They got coupons.
I'm sorry, got coupons?
Coupons. Coupons. Get my senior discount.
So speaking of wrestling, I'm shifting gears here, going to the next topic.
All right.
I believe it was the day of our last show. There was breaking news. The Bullet Club, a big wrestling group. They're not an organization. They're a group of wrestlers.
Yes.
They successfully sold out a 10,000 seat arena, the Sears Center Arena in Chicago.
Yes, they did.
10,000 seats. They sold it out in 29 minutes.
Yeah, that's a record right there.
And they kind of did it on a dare. They're not WWE.
Nope.
Oh, were they on a mission from God?
They were. They were on a mission, though. I don't think it was from God, but they were on a mission.
You know, raising money for the orphanage.
Yeah,
it all started about a year ago. There's a wrestling journalist named Dave Meltzer, and somebody asked him, "Do you think Ring of Honor or one of these non-WWE promotions could ever sell out a 10,000 seat arena?" And he said, "Not anytime soon.
No."
And Cody Rhodes, the son of Dusty Rhodes, whose theme we played in the beginning of the show. He said, you know what? I'll take you up on that. He's a member of the Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
It's him, the Young Bucks, Marty Scurll, a few other wrestlers.
Yep.
Huge, huge group. They've sold millions of t-shirts online.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Millions.
So Cody says that I'll take you up on that. And so they get together. They plan this event, which is happening this September 1st in Chicago. And sure enough, 10,000 seats.
Like that,
sold in 29 minutes.
It's amazing how things work out that way because you don't know.
One guy bought all the tickets, and now he's trying to resell them on StubHub.
Either way, that could be the case. But either way, they sold.
Like what? I remember an episode. What was it? The episode where someone had bought. I can't remember the name of the show. I can think of the name of the show. I'll think of it in a minute. It'll come to my mind. But he bought. Oh, it was a Full House, where Rebecca would marry Jesse. Well, all these.
We talk about everything on here. UFC, wrestling, and Full House.
How long have you been keeping this reference in the holster?
Well, I can't tell you. It's a secret. This comes out. A Full House. And she bought all of his albums and everything. Well, I mean, stole just like that. Yeah, I bought them all. What are you doing?
It's funny you bring up a Full House reference.
Well, you know.
When the name of this wrestling show that they're putting together is called All In.
See?
Full House, All In. It's all about poker, right?
It's all about poker. You got it. Anything goes there, ladies and gentlemen. Anything goes.
So the reason.
Michael, I know you're probably not a wrestling fan.
No, I was when I was younger. I mean, I Dusty Rhodes, sure. You know, I didn't know he had a kid.
He has two, yes. So the reason this is so amazing is this is an independent show. Much like comedy shows, independent shows, you're lucky if you get more than 12 people.
Yes.
God, great.
And they got 10,000.
Right. Yeah, no, you can talk about wrestling for me. It goes with Chief J. Strongbow.
Oh, yeah.
Superfly Snuka.
Yes.
Bob Backlund.
Yep. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, I mean, these are the guys that I was watching.
Me too. Yep. Tony Gurria,
yeah.
Ivan Putski.
The Wild Samoans.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Which is what? One of the Samoans was The Rock's dad, right?
Yes.
Or uncle?
Yes. No, the
Rock's dad was Rocky Johnson.
Rocky Johnson.
But was he one of the Samoans? Or
no.
I thought there was some connection between Johnson.
Well, they're all related. All the Samoans.
They're all related.
Yeah.
They're like cousins and uncles, stuff like
that. Okay, yeah, I knew there was some family relationship.
Like my date in life, every girl I ever dated, where I related to them. It was awful.
Family relationship. Sorry to hear that.
And none of them went to the family reunions. I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I did one show one time. A girl, you know, a guy comes up to me and he says, "Oh, you were funny. I'd like to introduce you to my wife and sister." One girl standing next to him, you know, so that's not
good. No, it's never good.
So some other wrestling news before we move on from the wrestling talk, because, hey, it's my show.
You do whatever you want. You're the man. We're just here for you. I'm just your sidekick.
So a few months back in January, one of my favorite wrestlers, Enzo Amore.
Oh, yeah.
He was fired.
Yeah.
He was fired from the WWE because there were rape charges against him.
Yep.
That's real life. That's frowned
upon.
Yeah, it's frowned upon.
Yeah, it is.
And there was an investigation, and he didn't inform the WWE there was an investigation. So that's against their policy. They let him go, right?
Right.
So last month, the news came out that the charges were being dropped because there was no evidence that this ever happened. It was some crazy girl. She was proven to be crazy. She texted one of her friends bragging about what happened with her and Enzo, and that friend turned around and put it on the internet and said, well, if you were assaulted, why are you bragging about it? And so the charges were dropped. There was no evidence that he did anything wrong.
However. Go ahead.
However.
Depending on how you look at it, I suppose. So the week before Memorial Day, he had been silent on the internet, social media, since January. So the week before Memorial Day, he just starts posting a couple things on Instagram. And one thing he posts is a short video, like 2 seconds long, showing Times Square from the top of a building. Not very specific about where in Times Square, but with a finger-pointing emoji saying, next Monday, 9 p.m., like pointing at Times Square. So it was very cryptic, I guess. Like, what's this mean? I guess he's going to be there, but...
Or he's going to jump off the building.
Or that was a thought that ran through my head.
Superman, I don't know.
So
Enzo Man flies in the air.
2 second videos are. It's hard to really get the story across in 2 seconds, though, I find.
So, well, yeah, unless you're doing so finger motions.
He released a couple things leading up to Memorial Day and basically said, hey, I'm going to be in Times Square. The first 212 people that come up to me get a limited edition t-shirt. He's making a whole t-shirt just for this meet and greet or whatever he's doing.
Wow.
And he said he's going to make a statement that day.
Oh, wow.
His first public statement since being fired.
Wow.
So the day before Memorial Day, Bonnie comes to me and says, hey, do you want to go to Times Square? I didn't even really know what was going on at this point. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, Enzo's going to be there, Enzo Amore. And she's like, look at his Instagram. So I saw all this stuff on there. I'm like, yeah, let's go. So we took a train down there. You wouldn't believe how many people showed up to this spot, this very unspecific spot in Times Square. Times Square is a big area.
It is. I've been down there.
But if you look at the video, you can be like, oh, okay, I see this store in the background here. American Eagle's over there. I think the M&M store is down the block.
Yeah.
So people figured out where it was, and we ended up there.
This show is sponsored by American Eagle and M&M's.
No. So while we're on the train there, a video comes out on the internet. A rap video.
Oh, really?
It's Enzo Amore doing a rap video.
Get out of here.
I can't really... I want to play it on the show. I even just loaded it up on my phone, but I can't play it on the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the language.
You can imagine.
Yeah, I can figure it out.
It costs money. You have to pay royalties.
Yeah.
You can't pay music. Play music with royalties. We don't have that kind of budget.
No.
But the telephone number, if you would like to make a donation...
So we're in Times Square. We're waiting for whatever's going to happen because we still don't know. Wait, what's he doing? All of a sudden.
He's going to be a rapper now. He's going to be like Eminem, you know, not the Eminem candy, of course.
All of a sudden,
people
are like, there he is. And we're looking around like, what are you talking about? People are pointing to the top of a building, like down the block. I don't know how anyone noticed this was him, but there's a guy. Sure enough, it's him. On top of this building, you can see like a speck from where we are.
Wow, that's crazy.
And he's sending out videos on Instagram saying, "I see you down there. I'll be down in a second." Turns out,
that's not a good sign when he says, "I'll be down in a second."
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So turns out the building he was in was the studio where he's recording his music.
Ah.
Same studio where Tupac got shot back in the 90s.
Oh, great.
Okay. All right. So it's got some gravitas.
So he eventually shows up. He pulls up in this, the weirdest looking car I've ever seen. It's a sports car. It's got some interesting artwork on the hood, and it's got the suicide doors that go up. he gets out, and he's got his people there handing out the T-shirts. I got one of them. I got number 73 out of 212. They were all numbered.
Oh, wow.
Individually. That's right. And there's 4,000 to 5,000 people there.
Wow.
Now, there is no way he was expecting 4,000 to 5,000 people to see this short video on his Instagram and say, oh, that's where he's going to be. Let's go wait for him.
Wow.
And he's going through the crowd. He's on his Instagram live. He's got his security around him and everything. And I'm trying to fight through the crowd, trying to get a picture with him and everything. And it's so funny. When he was wrestling, I was a huge fan of his from the beginning. Mm-hmm. When he was in NXT, which is like a developmental program for WWE.
Right.
And they did a show in Albany.
Yep.
And after the show, I tried to get a picture with him outside the building, and some other fan, some idiot, got his hand in the way of the camera, and you couldn't see Enzo in the picture, and I'm like, it got messed up. And he was being rushed onto the bus, so I didn't get my picture. So this time, New York City, I'm fighting my way through this crowd, and all of a sudden, I get shoved by his rather large security guard.
Oh, wow.
And I understand what he's doing. I know you're just doing your job, but by any other situation, if I get shoved like this, I'm punching someone in the face.
Right in the throat.
So I just calmly say to the guy, listen, I'm just trying to get a picture. You know, you don't have to be so aggressive. Enzo heard me. He turns around. He says, I got you, bro. And he posed for a picture with me.
Nice. Wow. How awesome was that? That's awesome.
Where's the picture now?
It's actually my Facebook profile picture.
He must have seen your radio show.
Seen my radio show, yes.
Or listening to the radio.
Because you've got Facebook Live. You've got me instead of him here for the interview.
What's up with that?
He's a hard one to get.
Can we say this is a low-budget radio station?
Nice.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Awesome. Wow, that's awesome.
You guys are going to make a wonderful couple.
Yeah. Let's see their kids.
So he's going into music now.
He's going into music. Since then, he's released a second rap song. It's been mixed reactions. A lot of hate, a lot of negative feedback, but a lot of positive feedback as well. I look at it as
kind of like the Trump presidency.
Yes, yes.
Well, no, because Trump is more negative than positive.
I look at it as, hey, the guy is doing something. You know, you're just sitting on your computer, going on Twitter, saying how bad it is.
Right.
If you're so much better, why don't you put out something?
Exactly. I did it. I have two kids.
Yeah.
See how my life went, didn't you?
So that's how I see the Enzo thing, and. If there was a radio edit of his song, I would play it for you. But you can look it up. But maybe I'll post it on our Twitter at Deplorable Radio.
Well, you get.
So last night, Kendrick Lamar performed up at SPAC.
Did he?
Yes.
Okay.
So a lot of teenagers there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, and I was a designated driver for a whole van full of teenagers, and man, I guess the pollen was bad last night because everybody seemed to be coming out with their eyes bloodshot. it was something bad.
Yeah, so
a lot of pollen.
I heard of pollen bed up that area.
Yeah, pollen really must have just been affecting the
that's
concert.
What it was.
You know, those outdoor concerts.
The outdoor county pulls you over. It's just the pollen. It's not anything. It's just the pollen. Don't worry about it.
But I understand the concert went off real well there.
Good. I saw that there was a concert going on. I didn't know who it was, though.
Yeah, I think the demographic there is 12 to 22.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot going on this weekend. That Americade going on in Lake Georgia.
I was there yesterday.
Oh, yes. Were you up there? A lot of people up there?
Yes.
Really?
Heard there was a horse race yesterday.
Yeah, the horse race yesterday.
I heard something about that, too, yes.
Oh, yeah. My grandfather used to be a big horse fanatic when he was, God bless his soul. He used to go to Saratoga, all the racehorses every single year until he passed away. My dad never got involved in horses.
It's good that he stopped after he passed
away.
Yeah,
I know, right? He had no choice. So anyway, I walk in the house, get ready to go change, go do my show. And my dad goes, oh, you just finally show up, really? You just showed up. Thanks for showing up. I said, what's going on, Dad? You missed the horse race. You missed the races. I said, what? Since when he became loving the horses? I mean, he was on a horse farmer, of course. You know, he takes care of the horses, but they don't race, you know. They're retired horses. I said, she'd be out there talking to them horses out there, feeding them, telling them about their past life and everything. What are you doing about this situation, you know?
The beautiful thing about television in the 21st century is anything you miss, you can pick up a couple seconds later.
That's why I told us. I watched that. We got Facebook,
see,
Dad.
See, a long time ago, kids, here, let me tell you something. Long time ago, we used to race home so that we could watch TV shows. Oh, my God. On Saturday night, we used to stay in the house till 1 a.m.
You had to be home at a certain time or you missed it.
That's
could you
right.
imagine
you
missing
it.
TV?
Missing it.
That and Bowen. That Bowen
Saturday
time.
Night Live was so popular. We would stay home as a group. We would watch from 11:30 till 1, and then we would go out to bars and nightclubs. And now it's like, let's go out.
I'll watch it Monday.
Right? I'll watch it tomorrow morning.
Exactly. I watch it Sunday instead of Saturday. It's okay. I recover from my alcoholism, my headache and everything. I'll watch it then.
Yeah, you're binge drinking. She's binge watching.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
So there was an event bigger than Kendrick Lamar, bigger than Americade, bigger than the horse race last Monday night. Do you know what it is, Jerry?
Monday Night Raw?
No, I'm getting past the
last okay.
Talk. Oh, I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Comedian Jason Smith made his return to
the Tower. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yes,
bigger,
he did.
Bigger than the Belmont.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was bigger. Huge.
I did my first set since, the last time I did comedy was before I started this radio show.
Yes, that's right.
Like, right before I started this radio show was my last set, and then I focused on this. I said, well, if I have any free time, which I don't, I'll focus it on.
You're more mature now. You're more of an adult than you were, obviously, several years ago. So it was, I'm sure, a fresh new take on things that are funny, you know, a more mature, a more sensitive, fatherly.
It's funny you say that because Terrence Green, he's a comedian that we all know.
Yep. Who I was out drinking with him last night.
Oh, good.
he's on a podcast this month, tomorrow night at Lark Tavern.
Well, he'll never be on this show because he missed my set.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. I wasn't there.
But it's funny. He comes out of the Lark Tavern as I'm putting my notebooks in my car. And he says, oh, did you go up? I said, yes. He's like, oh, I missed it. Did you do anything effed up? I said, I thought for a minute, and I said, you know what? I don't think so.
Cleaned it up, did you?
I think most of my set was, there were words in it, but it was relatively...
There were words.
There were words in it.
It was relatively clean, though.
I was going to say, and now for our radio mime show.
No, I thought it was a good set. I liked your set. I really did.
I mean, I had some of my old stuff in there, and I threw some new stuff in.
Yeah,
but
you did. I thought
When I did stand up back when I was 22, 23 years old, I did material, which I still have the tapes, and no one will watch those tapes, but I still have them, and it was all shock jokes, all shock humor, and there were some topical stuff about, you know, some of the commercials. I was talking about Spuds McKenzie and Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. I mean, so there was, but it was all shock.
Yeah.
And then I came back 5 years ago, and it's like, okay, you got to throw out Spuds McKenzie, you got to throw out Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. Jimmy Swaggart stuff isn't going to work anymore.
No.
The Reagan stuff isn't going to work anymore.
80s references aren't really that big.
Talking about all the fun things about, you know, abusing women, which was really popular back in the 80s for a 20-year-old, can't talk about that anymore.
No, you can't.
Now, you started in the Houston, Texas area?
I started in Houston, yeah.
And that's where Sam Kinison was?
Sam Kinison started in Houston, but he had left a couple of years before I started. I started doing improv in 85, started doing stand-up in 86, and by that time he was already in L.A. and he was already pretty big. The guys who were there still in Houston was Bill Hicks.
Uh-huh.
Jeanine Garofalo had left Boston. She went from Boston to Houston for about a year, and then from Houston she went to L.A., so... she was there right before she hit. As soon as she went to L.A., she started getting movie parts, and movie parts started getting her some comedy stuff. And so, you know, still knew Jeanine before she was anybody. Thea Vidal, who got her own show on ABC, she was a Houston comic. So there were some people there. Plus, at that time, I was still going back to my hometown on Long Island. So Kevin James and his brother Gary Valentine, you know, were guys that I was hanging around with on Long Island because they were the new guys. And so, you know, everybody, it was nice. It was that generation of comics that came up in the 80s.
Do you know who Kevin James wrestled in high school?
Who he wrestled in high school? No, we didn't.
Famous guy. Famous guy.
Go ahead.
Mick Foley.
Mick Foley.
Yes.
Wrestler and now comedian.
From Jersey.
Mick Foley.
Yep.
Mick Foley's from Jersey, right?
I believe he's from Long Island.
Okay, but he lives in Jersey now.
Yeah, he lives in Jersey now. Yeah.
He
lives in Jersey. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kevin James wrestled Mick Foley.
You notice that
now
there's a lot of wrestlers are now becoming comedians, like Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He does comedy now.
I don't know if they're being comedians as much as they're sharing their story.
Well, yeah, wait, but most of them are sharing their stories. I hear Dolph Ziggler actually has a very funny stand-up act.
Dolph Ziggler, Jake the Snake Roberts. Who was the other one there?
Well, going back, Dwayne Johnson. He's not doing stand-up, but he's a funny guy.
He is
a very funny guy.
Him and John Cena.
John Cena's a funny guy?
If this movie career of Dwayne Johnson's never picks up, never gets off the ground, he could probably do some stand-up.
Yeah, I think he would draw, yeah.
I might book him.
He's doing phenomenal.
But it's good because you got to have a sense of humor if you're going into the ring. There's got to be a whole, who is it that was in Get Smart? The wrestler.
Was it The Rock?
No.
The big guy,
the big guy, yeah.
Great Khali?
Yeah. I mean... Played a great villain in a comedy. I mean, you know, you have to have some comic appreciation.
He can't speak, but
yeah,
he did a great non-speaking role.
Some of the best people in show business can't speak. You know, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, it doesn't
Jerry
stop
Diamond.
Sure. Yeah, the greats.
Yeah, the greats. You know. Yeah, but I find it pretty amusing that you see, you know, wrestlers. You watch all these times, they're all doing stand-up comedy, trying to do comedy, you know, and I just find it pretty amazing. It's like, well, that's pretty unique. You don't see that, you know?
That's right. You don't see that. Why don't you see that? Well, because it's not easy.
It's not easy, no. That'd be like me trying to become a wrestler. Can you imagine me going to a ring and trying to be a wrestler?
I pay money to see you go up against Mike Jackson.
And him and CM Punk.
All right. Moving on to the next thing that I got for you guys. This is weeks old, so I mean, I know to the rest of the world that's like, why are you even talking about this? But it's been since the last episode that this really came out, so I want to know what you guys hear on this clip.
Yanni.
Laurel.
That is what you're playing at.
Laurel.
To me, it's very clearly Laurel.
Very clearly, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
I heard Yanni like once when it was played on some other podcast or something.
It was all over the different news network. They were talking about all over the news, like Good Morning America.
I hear Yanni.
Today Show. Yeah.
Yeah. My wife, who uses hearing aids to listen, she hears Laurel.
Really?
Yeah.
So I had heard that the worse your ears are, the more you hear Laurel. And if you can hear, like, higher pitches, you hear Yanni.
Right. Well, my wife can't hear anything I say.
I have bad hearing myself, so I hear Laurel.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me. Why do some people hear
completely different? One of the websites had a thing where you could actually do a little slide bar where you could change a little bit of the frequency or some aspect. So you could actually go and you could check at what point do you hear Yanni or Laurel. And so it really had to do with just subtle. I'm not sure what it was changing, whether it was the frequency or you know some aspect of the sound.
Hmm.
But there is a way you can kind of go, hey, where do I pick up on Yanni and Laurel? Yeah, who knew?
I just feel bad for any little girls out there named Laurel who are in school and they're doing, you know, attendance, and they get to her and she doesn't raise her hand because she's hearing the teacher say Yanni.
I have never met a Yanni or a Laurel, and I'm happy to say that. Very, very happy. So really the focus thing, I'm surprised you haven't brought it up yet because we've been on the air now. Oh my goodness. 43 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And how much money have we raised so far this first 43 minutes?
Do you want an update? I can give you an update.
Yeah. How much money has come in since we've been on the air? Actually, they're taking money out of
the fund. They're taking money out of the fund.
People are clawing their money back. Like the government trying to get some of your salary.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, check this out. And maybe it's just because this hasn't been refreshed in days, but the last time I checked this, we were up to 1600 and something. We are now up to $3,130.
Wow. $3,130
out of the $25,000 goal.
$25,000 goal.
Yes.
And what happens? We should do a game show, like the $25,000.
That pyramid, yeah.
That would be fun. A game show. Nicole, where were you when I was prepping for the show?
Where was I?
He's in church.
I'm kidding. I don't prep.
Okay. He was in church. He's upstairs praying.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. What would possess a 30-year-old to stay living with his parents even when they are suing to get him out?
I saw that there was a story. I didn't really look too deeply into the story and get the details.
But your parents finally got you out, though, so tell me about it.
No, I saw the story that you're talking about.
Yes, he's from the gentleman who, I'm not going to say his name, he's from Camillus, which is a suburb of Syracuse. So he's a New Yorker. There
you go. Yeah, New York.
There you go. Let's hear a big hand up for upstate New York. But oddly enough, there's somebody else from upstate New York with the exact same first name, the exact same last name, and the exact same age, also living, I think he was about 100 miles away, who was taking a lot of heat.
Oh?
Yes, because everybody thought he was the guy.
Wow.
It must be terrible to have a name that, like, other people might also have.
Hey, it could be a lot
like,
worse.
Like, you know, Jason Smith.
Jason
Smith.
Jerry Diamond. Jerry Diamond.
You know, is there another Jerry Diamond?
There is actually 687 Jerry Diamonds in New York State.
Wow. I think Jason Smith's
my
how you
daughter,
beat,
my daughter, who's studying archaeology in college, she did, like, a history of family names, you know. And she said, "Daddy, do you know there's 687 of you running around in New York State?" I said, "Honey, that's impossible. God could not mess up that many times."
It's always interesting when you find somebody with the same name. I looked up my name, and I think I might be the most famous Michael Gregg, which is not saying a lot. But there is another Michael Gregg who they had a picture of him in his orange jumpsuit. He did something very bad, which I'm not going to go into great detail. And it's just nice to know that if it's not me, it's someone who went to jail. I think pretty much every name that you could possibly come up with, there's somebody who's got the same name who went to jail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's about four or five Jason Smiths that are more famous than me.
And are they in jail?
Well, I think one of them's in the NBA, one of them's in the NFL, one of them's in the NHL, and one of them's in MLB. Like, every major sport has a Jason Smith in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, they do.
You could have been the wrestling Jason Smith.
I could have.
You could have.
I still could. I'm only 25 years old. I have plenty of time.
Again, on Tinder.
Do about 10 more years and join UFC and hang out with CM Punk.
So if you want to donate to this riveting conversation,
we
you can call 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400.
Is that phone number 518-697-7400?
That's it.
That's correct.
That's the number to call if you want to donate to the Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive for WGXC. Or you could also go online. Guess the website, Jerry.
You go online, wgxc.org/donate.
That's true. That's it. That's it.
I know
you win.
Thank
you. If we had prizes to give away, I would give you something.
Yeah. Headache both my eyes. Also, you can also come mail it in to WGXC, CO Wave, Farm, 5662, Route 23, Acre. Is that how that's pronounced? Acre?
Acre.
Acre, New York. 12405.
Do we want to tell them where we are so that they can actually come to hand deliver the checks?
If you hear a lot of organ music, we're down in the basement of a church. We're saying a lot of prayers.
I wasn't going to tell them.
I helped you out, Michael. It's okay.
Yes. All right. Well,
it's an interesting person that would actually come to the radio station to visit with us so that they could deliver cash and checks or some other. We take bitcoins, don't we? Do we take bitcoins? Would we take bitcoins?
Is it worth anything? I don't know. I haven't been following bitcoins. It's worth a lot, right?
Each coin's worth over $7,000.
Yeah. Listen, if there are any rustlers on it, that's worth money. If no rustlers on it, he's not interested in it.
So if you have any old furniture.
So four bitcoins would be enough for the whole pledge drive, right?
Four bitcoins
would
do it.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely.
See how good I am with math?
Yeah. Rounding off, counting, you know, divide by four.
Well, like, you know, math ain't math anymore. They get that all messed up, too,
like,
with that.
It's like cars for kids, except it's money for us.
Right. Right.
No kids. Well, it's Jerry.
Yeah, it's me. You know.
Jerry's kids.
Jerry's kids. We got this.
But I think it's just a great thing that you could donate to just local community radio.
It is.
What other stations are you listening to that have like this kind of talk on it? It's the same 10 songs over and over again every hour on the hour.
You're right, it is. Yeah.
Plus,
you're not going to hear songs that bring on wrestlers.
That's right.
Any other station.
No, you're not. Absolutely not.
There's a reason, by the way, for that.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you what, going back to your idea of them coming to the studio to donate personally.
Yes.
If that were to happen, that person can be my guest next month.
There you go.
Wow.
Wow.
But what do you got? You got like
10 minutes?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. So if somebody wants to be on the air, is there a minimum donation that they could make, or are you going to let somebody on the air for a dollar?
If they come in and take care of the entire $25,000,
they can run the radio show next month. They can run it. It can be their show. It can be their show.
Someone out there might be willing to pay that much to take me off.
Because I imagine someone would pay a dollar to be on this radio show.
Well, I take that as a high compliment.
Yeah, right?
You gotta have standards, at least $100.
And no, we do not take Monopoly money either, so that's not a good thing. We don't take Monopoly money.
Oh, I would take Monopoly
money. We know you would. Yeah.
So I have a little bit of an announcement, show-related, not station-related. You like that suspense, that little pause?
Yeah.
I like the buzz. There's like a silence buzz, and I just enjoy that.
So coming soon, there will be show-related merchandise on...
But what show?
Jason Smith's Deplorable Radio Show
with co-host
Jerry Diamond.
You will
be able to purchase a T-shirt for the show from ProWrestlingTees.com.
Oh yeah,
coming soon.
Coming soon.
Not available yet.
No,
but I reached out to them. They have a policy. If you have 10,000 social media followers or more, you can have a store. I happen to have almost that in just Twitter followers.
Wow.
Really?
And I said, hey, I got a radio show. We do a lot of wrestling talk. We did a WrestleMania special where it was nothing but wrestling talk.
Exactly. And we wore T-shirts. You had the Hot Rod T-shirt. I had the Hulkamania T-shirt. It was awesome.
So
you missed it, Michael. You missed it.
So they approved, and we will have merchandise soon.
Someone's life that
so
day.
Is it going to be like the Diamond Smith?
Diamond
Diamond Smith T-shirt.
Yeah, that's what's gonna be Diamond Smith T-shirt.
Well, I was thinking about putting Jerry's face on a shirt.
Well, you don't want to do that.
and saying a face made for radio.
Nice.
No, a face made for beating.
Because in pro wrestling talk, face means good guy.
Right.
Heel means bad guy.
Right.
So
right.
You would be the good guy on a wrestling shirt.
I think Jerry's more a face made for underwear.
Yeah, Fruit of the Looms. He's fruity and he's loomy.
Yeah, you put Jerry's face on the flap.
Yeah, foot flap.
So I don't know. I feel pretty proud that I have a Pro Wrestling Tees site coming
out. I like
that.
I like
soon.
That. Yeah,
that's good. There you go. That's a fundraising thing right
that's,
there.
That's the site where the Bullet Club sold millions of T-shirts and became hugely successful. And now they're selling out 10,000 seat arenas. So who knows where we might go with the show.
You never know.
This is very impressive. You have so how many Twitter followers do you have?
I believe it's around 9,500. But they combine that with your Instagram followers and your Facebook likes. And
so do you have one of those little check marks next to your Twitter name?
I don't. I've tried. Apparently, a friend of mine, I was going to say a friend of the show, but he hasn't been on the show yet. A friend of ours, David Shine,
yes.
is... close to getting that blue check mark.
Yeah.
And I said, well, all right, what's going on? What am I doing wrong? Because I've tried and I've gotten denied. And
how do you try? You actually send a letter up to Twitter?
There is a way to apply for it online, and you wait weeks or months, and then they get back to you, and they say either yes, you're getting it, or sorry, not this time. I got the sorry, not this time. And according to David Shine, it's because I don't have anything published. I don't know if this radio show counts as publishing.
No.
Probably not.
No, published. It doesn't. No.
But David Shine has some stuff out there. He's got
album.
So many music videos.
Yeah,
and
yeah. He's got an album out there he's doing.
Yeah.
He's recently moved back to New York City from L.A. He's living in New York City now.
Yes. He's been moving all over the place.
He was performing at Saratoga Thursday night.
Yep.
So yes, this Thursday. Was. This yep. past Thursday.
Yep. Oh, at the Comedy Works?
Yep.
Comedy Works, yeah.
Well, good for him. I'm glad to see his career is going well.
He's doing good.
I remember back in the day when he was actually banned from the Comedy Works.
Yeah.
And I used to tease him all the time because he got banned for making fun of their mac and cheese on stage and saying that it was garbage.
He was
so every time I would see him, I'd be like, hey, Dave, how's the mac and cheese?
He had won a
Yeah, that's... that, not good to make fun of the food at the restaurant where he was performing.
No, no. Well, back in the day when he started, when the comedy works in Albany, Northern Boulevard, he won a competition that week.
It's not there anymore.
No, no, I know. It's Dunkin' Donuts now. But he was in a competition he had won during the week, so he was able to perform on Saturday night, which I went there to see. And he was so bad. I mean, one person laughed. You can hear crickets in the building. That's how bad he was.
Yes, and he'll be getting his blue check mark on Twitter sometime in the near future.
Yeah. He was
Facebook jailed for a while, too. He was.
Oh, he's in and out of Facebook jail all the time. I think he tries to get in Facebook jail.
Yeah, I think he does, too.
Is it, if you're banned from Facebook for posting something that's not allowed, that's considered Facebook jail. Yeah,
shout out, David Shine. I love you. You're doing great. I mean, he's been to Japan, too. And then
Yes.
So he's been all over.
We got a few more minutes. Only one more thing I wanted to talk about, really. Wheel of Fortune was in the area.
No, I did not know.
Yeah.
Wheel of Fortune was in.
Was too.
I don't know about that, but Wheel of Fortune was in Saratoga.
Yeah.
And
Tell me more.
I will.
It's a Spencer's gallon.
My day job, I work with people who are intellectually disabled.
Yep.
Not severely.
Right.
Politicians.
Yes. and I obviously for privacy reasons I can't get too into that job. But I can tell you that one of the guys I work with, his favorite show, he cannot miss it. It's like the old days of television. He won't DVR it. He has to be at home at 7 o'clock. He watches Wheel of Fortune every night.
Wow. All
right.
And my job is to find fun things to do with my guys.
Right.
So I said to him, "Wanna go to Wheel of Fortune?" His eyes lit up. He was so excited. So I took him to the Wheel of Fortune tryouts in Saratoga. And it was such a great time. I saw Dee Watson there.
When was this?
A week ago.
A week ago. Okay.
Yeah, a week ago yesterday, yes.
Cool.
And we get there, and there's probably 1,000 people. And it was such a great time. It was just interesting to see how they find the people that actually
I've
end
tried
up
out for
on
Wheel of Fortune.
Have you?
When I was in LA, I tried out for Wheel of Fortune.
Was it the same process? Do you like
Hangman?
do you fill out an application and then you pick like 5 random applications out of the thousands?
No. Oh. This was actually at the studio when I was out there in LA, and basically what they had several ways that you did. First, you had to play Hangman. Just sitting there, you know, in a room where you're actually just playing the game Hangman, because that's what Wheel of Fortune is.
Yeah.
And then if you did well, you know, being able to hand in, you know, before the other people in the groups that you were tested with, then you moved on to the second round. So I went with a couple other guys, didn't do well enough to get to the second round. But the second round of testing was to check and see how much energy you could show. So then it's like, okay, you can play Hangman, but can you act like a total fool and lots of energy? You know,
that must be how they found the host of this traveling trial thing, because this guy had energy.
Really, really ramped up. You had to be really, you know, it was like Jolt Cola and Monster drinks all mixed together.
This guy was jumping around. Yeah. It was a fun time, though. They take your application, they put it in like one of those rolling things that you put like bingo balls or something in, and they drew out 5 names at a time. 5 people come up, they go through a puzzle. You don't spin the wheel.
Right.
But you just try to solve the puzzle. As soon as the puzzle's solved, everyone's gone, they bring up the next 5.
Did they let everybody try?
No.
Yes.
They just kept drawing 5 at a time. Never got me or the guy that I brought with me. We only stayed for 2 of the 3 rounds. They did like at 12 o'clock, 1:30, and at 4 o'clock or something like that. And so we only stayed for the first 2, and then my guy I was with was getting hungry, so we left.
So you mentioned Dee Watson was up there.
She's
a very funny comic. So did she get to participate?
No, she didn't.
Okay.
Not from what I saw. She might have gone up in the third tryout. I don't know.
Gotcha.
But it was a lot of fun.
That's good.
Well, so we've spanned music, wrestling,
Wheel of Fortune,
UFC.
We covered a lot here. We covered a lot here.
Raising money for the radio.
And tonight at 8 o'clock, the Sunday night Major League Game of the Week, Mets and Yankees.
There you go. Are you a Mets or you're wearing a Mets shirt?
No,
you're
I'm not.
Both wearing a Mets shirt.
I'm wearing.
Oh, you're wearing a Subway Series.
I'm wearing
shirt.
The Subway Series shirt.
So
now,
are you Mets or Yankees?
I am a Mets fan. Everybody else in the family is a Yankee fan, but I got tickets to tonight's game.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to go down to New York City.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, we cover a lot here. We only had an hour. I wanted to get through as much as possible. I'm glad you came in, Michael, because you're a great guest. I love talking
absolutely,
to you.
Absolutely. I love this guy. He's funny.
Well, yeah, and if anybody wants to contact me, you,